You are listening to the Mic Drop Sports Podcast, dropping the mic on the top stories in sports. Now give it up for your hosts, Mike Schneid and Zach Stein.
Welcome to our NBA preview episode of the Mic Drop Sports Podcast. Thank you for tuning in and listening to this very special episode. You're all very lucky because you get to listen to two of the most knowledgeable and passionate basketball fans on the planet talk about the upcoming 2019-20 NBA season. I'm Mike Schneid, and as always, I'll be joined by the equally knowledgeable Zach Stein. He will chime in just a second, but for us, we're both over 30 years old, and this season is exciting because the NBA landscape has never looked like this before. It's wide open. There's always been teams like the Warriors, the Cavs, the Heat, the Celtics, Lakers, Bulls, Spurs, always a dynasty of some sort. So, and sure, we've had random teams like the Mavs and the Pistons, and even last year's Raptors win it all. But realistically, for the first time in a long time, the NBA is wide open. But it does start with the two favorites, and those are the two teams from LA, who of course had the loudest offseason, made the most noise, and that's where my partner Zach is from. He's from Los Angeles. So walk me through your mindset heading into the season with the Clippers and the Lakers and just the NBA being wide open.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun season. Like you mentioned it, we've always had a period of time where you go into the season and you would be shocked if a certain team doesn't win. And now there's quite a few handful of teams where it's like they legitimately have a shot this year, next year, and so forth to win championships. So it's really fun. And obviously, being from LA, the two teams, like you mentioned, that made the biggest splashes are the Clippers and the Lakers. Basically, the league went from trios to duos, and these two teams have the best duos going forward. So you got LeBron James, Anthony Davis versus, obviously, Kawhi and Paul. Paul George ain't playing tonight, which is a little bit of a bummer, but it's going to be fun. I like both of these teams. I've always rooted for them both growing up. They've never been competitive at the same time, so this is kind of a weird place for me to be in, but I hope that we get them to face each other in the playoffs because that'd be so cool.
That would be cool. I mean, I know that it would be awesome for the city of LA, and honestly, it would be awesome for the NBA because there's just so much star power in between those two teams.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, but I saw actually like a really good tweet, and I think I've said this before and we've agreed on this, where the Clippers were able to add two superstars to already a built team that made the playoffs last year, gave the Warriors a good run in the playoffs, and then now you add Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to this team. So it's just such a good team where the Lakers are kind of building this team from scratch right now. So
and
it's going to be super interesting to see how it plays out for both teams.
And that's the fascinating thing is that so the Lakers have the third longest playoff drought in the NBA. They haven't made the playoffs since 2013. And the Clippers have never, not only have they never won or made the finals, they've never even made the conference finals. So we're talking about two teams that, yes, of course, the Lakers are storied, but two teams that come into the season as the front runners without a lot of recent success. So we'll kind of let's go through our predictions for the East and for the West. We'll start with the West since we're already talking about LA. So whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers or another team, we'll go into the offseason stuff. I mean, if you guys want to hear our thoughts on the offseason, we have several old episodes from the summer. We really went into the details, so I don't know that it's worth going into the details now. But let's just jump right in. Who, in your opinion, will have the best record in the Western Conference?
I do think it's going to be the Clippers. I think this team is built for success in the regular season and built for success in the playoffs. They're a very gritty. They were a great defensive team last year, and then they added two of the best scorers in the league, and then also, they might be the two best on-ball defenders as well. So you're adding scorers, which is what they desperately needed, but also they're keeping that defensive mentality intact as well. I just think that's a lethal combo. That's just the teams are not going to be able to compete with night in, night out during the season.
I think the Clippers are better than the Lakers. I prefer that duo of Kawhi and Paul George. I like how you said they're walking onto a team that's already established. The Clippers were the 8th seed last year. They didn't blow up their team to make these moves. That said, I have flip-flopped and waffled on who I think will have the best record a few times now. Actually, over the summer, I said the Jazz. I'm still incredibly high in the Jazz, and I do think the Clippers are better than the Lakers. That said, I think the Lakers will finish with the best record. The thing that excites me about the Lakers and that fascinates me more than anything, for the last 8 years, LeBron James has played until the middle of June. This year, he played until early April, and it might have even been sooner because I know they shut him down early. So he had an extra two months to physically rest, to mentally rest, and I think he's going to come out and just – this is going to be like his FU season to the league. He's going to come out extremely motivated. I would expect him to play all 82 games and just have an MVP-type season once again. I think Anthony Davis will be healthy and motivated, and I don't think their supporting cast is as good as the Clippers, but I think it'll be good enough. LeBron has done way more with way less than this Lakers team. I mean, Danny Green is better than anybody he had in Cleveland beyond Kyrie and Kevin Love and Kuzma as well. So I like this Lakers team. I don't love them, but I think they're going to finish with the best record because of a highly motivated and healthy LeBron.
Interesting. He has had a lot of time to rest, and I think that is going to be key, where he got to mentally just check out a little bit, not play in the playoffs, which is, you know, is the first time in a long time, and really get healthy and obviously get excited about recruiting a new team, getting his star player that he's wanted to get to join with him in LA and with Anthony Davis. So it's going to be really interesting to see. Reason why I just have the Clippers finishing above them is because I just don't know throughout the regular season. Yes, there are these talented pieces like Kuzma, Danny Green, Kentavious Caldwell, Pope, Quinn Cook. I just don't know if it's enough night in, night out to win the most games in the Western Conference.
But is it enough for the Clippers? Because Paul George is already out for a month, and I'm sure that Kawhi Leonard is going to take his maintenance days. So if he starts taking days off, I mean, maybe the Clippers could overcome that because they do have such a strong team around him. But if they can't, that's my fear, is that they start losing games and losing ground on that one seed.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they react without Paul George. But again, Kawhi Leonard is amazing. We'll see. I mean, he was coming off the injury 2 years ago, which is why he was getting those maintenance days. I'm not going to be a fool and expect that those days aren't going to keep happening. But we will, you know, just have to wait and see how these teams perform. But I just think that there are more well-rounded teams in the NBA right now built for better regular season success than what the Lakers have.
So I agree with that. But I also think that that LeBron James has played on worse teams than this roster. And that's why I think that this is a decent team that they put around LeBron. It's better than he's had in Cleveland at times. So I don't know. There's something about a healthy and motivated LeBron that kind of swayed me to go with the Lakers number one. And also Frank Vogel is a coach that's won and has had success before. I mocked it over the summer, but after thinking about it, they could have done a lot worse than him. I think he's just a capable and competent coach for them.
Yeah, this could be one of those most talented teams he's been on besides the Miami Heat team. But the thing is that this is also going to be the most competitive conference that he's been in from top to bottom. So wins are not going to be able to come easily or as often, because it's just you got to play the Clippers a bunch, you got to play the Rockets a bunch, the Nuggets, the Blazers, the Jazz, the Spurs, the Warriors, the Mavericks, the Kings. There are a lot of good teams in this conference, and I just can't see them piling up enough wins to get the one seed.
There are. It's a really – I think we're both in agreement that 1 through 6 are locks and they're incredibly challenging. So let's go through 1 through 6. So you have the Clippers at 1. And then what do you have?
I'm going with the Rockets at 2. I really think that Harden and Westbrook are just going to be kind of revitalized and have that crazy energy to be playing against each other. They actually seem like really good friends, which I think is going to make that dynamic like just work well, because this is going to be the first time that they've actually played together where they're both superstars. And they were on OKC. James Harden wasn't even a starter. He was a really good sixth man. But that those three players that were on the Thunder are completely different players than they are right now. And I think, obviously, now Harden is going to be the best teammate that Westbrook has played with now, because just because of how dynamic of a scorer that Harden can be. So I think that's going to change the way Westbrook plays, where Westbrook's not going to need to come down and just chuck a million threes like he did in OKC. So I think Westbrook's going to have a more efficient scoring season just because of the attention that Harden's going to have to bring. So I really like the regular season, but this team just the regular season, because those two are just impossible to guard. I know that they have some depth issues as well, but I just feel like this is a regular season team that could just pour on wins because of what Harden and Westbrook can do.
And then who do you have at 3 and 4?
3 and 4. I'm putting the Nuggets there. I think another year under their belt, they get Michael Porter Jr. And this team, again, is built for regular season success. They had a nice playoff run. We'll see if that'll help them in the playoffs. But this team is built for regular season wins. And because they're deep, tons of talented players. So I got them at 3. And then 4, I'm putting the Lakers in here. I think the Lakers are going to be super competitive, but I just don't know if night in, night out, because I imagine they're going to have to do load management games with LeBron and AD to make sure these guys are healthy and well-rested for the playoffs, because one of these guys go down, the whole ship goes down. So you really got to be careful with these guys. So I just think there's just a lot of opportunity. And we don't know what this team's going to look like defensively. The Lakers last year were one of the worst defensive teams in the league. LeBron basically stopped playing defense. Is LeBron going to be rejuvenated all of a sudden to now step in and play defense? We don't know. Kyle Kuzma is a good scorer. He doesn't play defense, but they're saying he's improved. So just a lot of question marks where I just think that a 1-3 seed is possible for this team.
That's fair. I mean, I totally respect that. There's something about LeBron and his attitude, and those extra 2 months really fascinate me, because I think he's going to come out extremely fresh out of the gate. And I think Anthony Davis is going to be the healthiest he's ever been, because he's never played with a guy like LeBron. And I think he'll just be super excited to get out of LA. So you have Clippers, Rockets, Nuggets, Lakers round out your top four. So my top four is Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, and Rockets. With the Clippers, yeah, I do think the Clippers are better than the Lakers. I think they have an amazing supporting cast. They really only lost Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They have the 17-time sixth man of the year, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. They just have a really strong, well-rounded team. The Jazz, I have been high on them since the summer. I love the Mike Conley addition. He's one of the more underrated players in the NBA. I think Ricky Rubio is a good point guard, and he got the Jazz to the playoffs the last couple of years. But Conley is a monster upgrade over Ricky Rubio, and he can do a lot of things that Rubio can't, like being a go-to scorer. I love Mitchell. I love Rudy Gobert. They added Jeff Green, who's, I think, been on almost every team now, and then Bojan Bogdanovic will add a whole nother dimension to them as a scorer. They have a strong bench with Exum, Emmanuel Mudiay, Joe Ingles. And Davis, they also added another really good veteran. I really like this team. I think Quinn Snyder is an excellent coach. Originally, I had the Jazz 1 or 2. I do think the two LA teams are too talented, because I think at the end of the day, superstars still rule this league. And while the Jazz might be the most well-rounded team in the West, they lack that superstar, and they kind of lack that end-of-game scorer like a Kawhi or a George or a LeBron or a Westbrook, Harden, Lillard type. So I had the Jazz at 3 and then the Rockets at 4. Honestly, you said you hit the nail on the head with the Rockets. I don't really have much to add. I just think that the Lakers, Clippers, and Jazz are simply better than them. But I love Westbrook and Harden combination, and I can't wait to see what those two guys are capable of every night. And then I go Blazers, Nuggets 6. I'm not as high on the Nuggets as you. I know they finished second last year. I just think everybody else got better, and they just kind of stayed pat for the most part. I think they need to make one more big move. I wish they had gotten like a Bradley Beal or a Kevin Love, and maybe they still will get Kevin Love. I think they need to make one more move. I have them at six, and again, I think the Blazers are awesome. I just think the West is just so good and so deep that they're kind of stuck at five for me.
Yeah, I got the Blazers in at five as well. I love Damian Lillard. I love CJ McCollum. I like the addition of Hassan Whiteside. I know Nurkic is out for a while, but Hassan Whiteside really provides them that paint threat and as well for defense. He's just so good defending the rim. So I'm excited for what this Blazers team can do. Obviously, they're just not, you know, going to be consistent enough as these other four teams ahead of them, that I think. But then I know you're super high on the Jazz. Listen, I think this Jazz is going to be really good. I mean, they're probably winning, you know, 50-plus games, obviously, to be here. I have them up to 60. But my thing with them is, yes, they're going to be so good defensively. But when you're talking now, the Clippers are going to be able to score a ton of points. The Rockets are obviously going to score a ton of points. Nuggets can put up a ton of points. Lakers are going to be scoring a lot of points. Blazers are going to be scoring a lot of points. And it's just, can the Jazz consistently slow down these amazing offensively built teams on a night-in, night-out basis to win enough games? And if these games become shootouts, can they score enough points also to outscore these guys and win games? So I don't know. I love the roster. It's gritty. It kind of reminds me of like the Pistons team when they won their back-to-back championships. But I just don't know if this is the roster to be successful in the new age NBA. They're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be exciting to watch by any means, but they're just going to be a really solid team. And then after that, I've got the Spurs and the Warriors coming in, finishing out the playoff seats.
You ruined the whole big reveal with the Warriors. But for the Jazz, I do think Conley and Bogdanovich can provide those secondary scores to Mitchell. So I do think they can score. I think the issue is going to be who's defending Kawhi and LeBron. Jeff Green is not – I mean, is Jeff Green that guy? Is he really going to guard LeBron for 35, 40 minutes? So I get the concerns defensively. And like you said, I love the Hassan Whiteside move. I do think Portland has a deep roster. And they have some really fun young guys, like Anthony Simons, and they drafted Nasir Little. They have Zach Collins. So I just think they're a good, deep team. I just think the West is so strong. And we agree that those six teams are locks. The Clippers, the Lakers, Rockets, Nuggets, and Blazers, and Jazz. In whatever order, I think those are the six best teams in the West. And you revealed your last two teams are the Warriors and the Spurs. And I think when you look at the 7 and 8 seed, it comes down to the Warriors, the Spurs, the Pelicans, and the Kings. And some people have the Mavs. I think the Mavs are far, far off the radar. So why do you go Spurs, Warriors in 7-8 over teams like the Pelicans and the Kings and whoever
else? Spurs, you got to have faith in Popovich. They still got DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge. I like Derek White over there. So it's still a solid team. I just think with Pop's experience, they're able to just win enough games against some of these younger teams. And it's not disrespect to the Pelicans and the Kings, because I think those are really fun and talented rosters. I just think they're a year away where, like, this Spurs team is old. I think the Spurs got the year or two where before they've got to really make some big splashes of their own, or else they're going to start missing the playoffs, because all these other teams are built for immediate and, like, reoccurring playoff appearances. So it's just and the Pelicans, as fun as the roster is, it's such a new team. There's so many new moving pieces. They're so young. And obviously Zion being out for a little while doesn't help their chances either. So I think they're just going to come short. I like the Mavs, but again, yeah, there's just not enough talent there to get them up. And the Kings are going to be close, but I still like the Warriors. Steph Curry, I think he's just going to be able to move the ball as freely as he ever has been. We're going to see just how great he is and what he can do scoring the ball. D'Angelo Russell is going to be an interesting teammate for him. And they still got Draymond Green, Kevon Looney. I think missing Iguodala is going to hurt a lot. But I can't count out Steph Curry to make the playoffs. I just can't.
No, you can't. And that's why I'm not. I've thought this so many times. I even announced earlier on Twitter that I wasn't putting the Warriors in the playoffs, but I am. I'm still not sold on this Warriors team, but what I am sold on, and I guess I'll start from the bottom up, is, yeah, I don't think the Mavs have a ton of talent. I don't like the rest of their roster beyond Porzingis and Doncic. I was super high on the Kings throughout the summer, and then it dawned on me recently that they're still the Kings, that they're still gonna have some sort of controversy, some sort of off-the-court issue. They're still going to have issues, and I just want to say this one thing on the Kings. I love Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield might honestly be my favorite player in the NBA. I would have offered him a 4-year, $64 million take-it-or-leave-it deal. He got $92 million. That's insane. I can't get over the fact that Buddy Hield got a 4-year, $92 million contract this week.
Good for him. He's a fun score.
Yeah, good for him, but...
Listen, Sacramento's not messing around. They have guys that they really like and want to build around. The Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, they got these players. And it's young and it's competitive. I mean, just think about where the NBA is going to be in 3 to 5 years. LeBron is probably not going to be in the league anymore at that point. Or he's clearly probably not going to be the same LeBron James. James Harden, Westbrook, ton of miles are going to be on them in 3 to 5 years. So, I mean, in 3 to 5 years, when you're talking about these guys, it's like you need to keep a young team intact. So if that means overpaying for Buddy Hield and keeping this young team together, you got to do it because it could pay off in 3 years. Like, the Kings in 3 years could very well be maybe the best team in the West. We don't know because it's just these guys are – these stars are all, you know, getting a little bit older, and it's – time for this new regime of young players to step in and run this league.
It's possible. Or in 3 years, they could be the Kings and they could continue to stink. They haven't made the playoffs in 13 years, the longest drought. That was what I struggled with, was at the end of the day, they're still the Kings and they're still going to have the same Sacramento Kings issues they've always had. The team that I'm really, really upset and struggling about is the Pelicans, because I've had them in the playoffs up until yesterday, up until it was announced that Zion Williamson was out for 8 weeks. You said it well. They're kind of breaking out a whole new team, and they needed Zion from day one to kind of gel and adapt. I still like what they have there without him. I just think not having him for the first month or two is going to cost them too many games in a deep West, which is why I will go with the Warriors and the Spurs above them. The thing that I really like about New Orleans is watch out for Lonzo Ball. I think Lonzo Ball is going to have an awesome season. When you're the number two pick, you're picked that high to be a franchise-altering player. He never altered the Lakers franchise in a positive way. He was saddled with, you know, the team 2 years ago was terrible. Last year was LeBron. Luke Walton wasn't a great coach. All this stuff with his father. I just think there was so much pressure on him. And so, like, such high expectations that him getting out of his hometown of L.A. and going on to this young team is really going to benefit him. I love Jrue Holiday. I think he could have an all-star type season. And they made a lot of other good additions. But at the end of the day, it's not enough. I don't think the Spurs have a playoff roster. But, like you said, I'm not one to sit here and question Greg Popovich. I mean, if he thinks DeJounte Murray is worth $70 million, then sure. Then let's run it back with DeJounte Murray. Derek White kind of broke out a little bit last year. Yeah, I mean, DeRozan and Aldridge are certainly getting a little bit older, but I still think they can play at a high enough level to get this team to the 8th seed. And then the Warriors, I don't know. I'm very conflicted on the Warriors. I've been saying this since the summer. It's not the same team. We all know that. I do think that Steph Curry is just going to go wild. Like, he's going to average close to 40 points this year. I think Russell... I question the combination of Curry and Russell, but I think Russell will be able to get his shots and get some points. The thing that concerns me is Draymond Green. Draymond Green for the last few years has been the fourth, maybe even at times fifth best player behind Iguodala, if you want to look at it that way. So him as the third best player on this team kind of worries me and scares me a little bit. And I don't love their depth. I know they made some... They have some young guys like Willie Cauley-Stein, Marquise Chris, Alec Burks. So we'll see. It's not a deep roster. I think Steph's going to literally play 40 minutes a game and score 40 points. But yeah,
it's going to be super fun because he might as well go for the scoring record, right?
If he goes for it, he'll get it. If he stays healthy enough, he'll get the scoring record for sure. At the end of the day, I guess they just have a hard time counting him out and counting the Warriors out.
Yeah, I mean, because there is so many open points there, losing Durant, losing Klay Thompson. So the opportunity there for D'Angelo Russell is very large for him, especially playing they're going to be playing so fast. It's a super young team in the Pelicans, super young team in the Kings, and then versus Steph Curry and a team that's won multiple championships. So it's just, obviously it's not the same one, but like they have that pedigree. So it's just, I feel like you have to put them in the playoffs. And anytime you get a chance to watch the Warriors, you have to, because Steph Curry could any night drop 60 points at this point.
So let's move on to the East. We'll come back to the West and we'll talk about our playoff predictions in the West at the end. So jumping down to the East, this is a conference that lost a lot. Obviously, they lost LeBron 2 years ago. They lost Kawhi. So the defending champion Raptors are going to fall down the pole a little bit. A lot of moves. Everybody in the top six teams in the East, or well, my projected top six, seven, eight, whatever. It seems like everyone in the East made a major move involving an all-star talent, all-star caliber player. So I'll go first on the East. I think we agree on one and two, but in different orders. I have the Celtics at number one. I've said this on previous shows, and I'm going to say the same thing I've been saying since the summer. Kyrie Irving is a better player than Kemba Walker. I don't think that's debatable. What is debatable is that I think Kemba Walker is a better fit for this team, for what Brad Stevens wants to do. I think you saw last year that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown regressed a little bit last year. I think that has a lot to do with Kyrie. I think they're both going to break out. I mean, Jaylen Brown better break out. He just got $115 million, which is another absolutely absurd contract. But I think they're both going to break out. I think Kemba Walker is a great pick-and-roll point guard, and he can do that with Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter's not necessarily going to replace Al Horford, but he can fit what Brad Stevens wants to do on offense. And I think Gordon Hayward is going to play at an all-star level. When you look at Paul George, it took Paul George almost a full year, 2 years to recover from his injury. I think Gordon Hayward will get back to his original form, and you'll see him really break out. And then I have the Bucks at number two.
Yeah, so we're reversed on those two teams. I agree with you. I do think Kemba Walker is a better fit for the Celtics team than Kyrie was. Definitely a lot less of a headache to deal with. I think he's going to get his teammates involved better than Kyrie was able to. So, yeah, I definitely look for Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, to definitely improve from where they were 2 years ago. Then I like the addition of Kanter. You said he plays hard, good goon in the paint. I'm hoping I've always been a Gordon Hayward fan. I'm hoping that he gets back to the all-star form. If he does, then I'll agree with you that the Celtics are going to be the one seed, but I'm just not sold on it yet, which is why I'm putting that two and the Bucks at one. They were the one seed last year. They kept the same team. I wish they made a different move. They lost Malcolm Brogdon. I wish they added some more shooting to the team, but they're built for a regular season success. So got to keep them at the one spot.
It's interesting that you keep talking about regular season success with a lot of these teams. I'm looking forward to talking about the playoffs because regular season success is a lot different than playoff success. We saw that.
Absolutely.
We saw that with the Bucks last year. And yeah, so we agree on one and two. And then I think we're going to agree drastically on the rest. So I can run through my East because I've been tweaking it all day. And then you can run through your East and then let's go through the team. So I have Celtics Bucks. At three, I have the Pacers. Four, the 76ers. Five, the Nets. Six, the Raptors. Seven, Orlando. And eight, let's go. I'm going with the Hawks. I know this is very different from what you have.
Yeah, that is
because there's one team that I omitted that you have that I can't wait to talk about.
Yeah, so I've got the Heat at three.
Yep.
I've got the Sixers at four. I've got the Raptors at five. I've got the Pacers at six. I got the Nets at seven and the Pistons at eight.
Let's talk about the Heat. when you look at Jimmy Butler's time on the Bulls, other than the years that they had Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah both in their prime, Jimmy Butler never had any postseason success. I think the best they finished was 3 back in 2015. They did win a first-round series. They still had Noah and Rose those years. But beyond that, he's never really had playoff success. Last year, he had 3 All-Stars in Philly. They had – he finished with the 8th seed in Minnesota 2 years ago. And he had a couple of rough years just being the guy in Chicago. I'm not sold that he can be the guy and, like, the one and only All-Star. This is not a good roster. I'm not a fan of Goran Dragic. Deion Waiters is already suspended. I know people think Tyler Hero is the greatest player of all time. I mean, their front court is Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk and James Johnson. I don't think this is a good Heat team. I love Eric Spoelstra as a coach. I like Jimmy Butler as a player. I just think Jimmy Butler is a better fit on a team with guys like Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, or, you know, Karl Anthony Towns.
I love this roster. I do. I love Tyler Hero. I love Bam. I love Olynyk. I love Justin Winslow. And I think Jimmy Butler, this is a place where he's wanted to be. I felt like he's had Miami on his mind for a long time, and he's home. And now it's like go time. I think he's going to have the best year of his career, and I'm pumped about this Heat team.
But why? But so you think
– I don't care. I think these other teams are not that good. I had a really hard time putting together my standings for the East, and I just think personally that after the Bucks and the Celtics, Jimmy Butler is the next best player in the Eastern Conference.
He might be. I'm not going to fully argue that, but he's never really carried a team. He's never carried a team to the 3 seed, especially. Even if you don't think these other teams are that good, I don't know. I don't have the faith that he can carry a team to a top 4 seed, even if you think the East is weak.
I don't think the East is weak by any means. I mean, the Sixers team is polarizing. Ben Simmons, Embiid, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson. But it didn't really work last year. I don't think it was Jimmy Butler's fault by any means. It was just so many moving pieces within the year, people getting hurt, people being added every time. So it's just they had a weird team. Obviously, you take away Jimmy Butler, that changes a little bit things. Obviously, the Raptors lose Kawhi Leonard. The Pacers, I would have to, if Oladipo was healthy, I would probably agree with you that the Pacers might be the 3, but I think Oladipo is going to be out for a little bit still. The Nets, obviously, if Durant was healthy, I have the Nets skyrocketed up there, but I still think there's enough talent there where they're making the playoffs. I know Blake Griffin was just ruled out for a couple weeks. That's a big blow, but I still think that roster is interesting enough where they can get it, because I know you mentioned the Hawks. I love that Hawks team. I loved every draft pick they did. I love the additions they made with Trae Young. I'm probably Trae Young's biggest fan. I'm just not sold, just kind of like the Pelicans. It's so young and just such a new team. I just don't think they're ready to make the playoffs just yet.
Originally I was thinking that they're still a year away, that they need a year's worth of growing pains. And then I watched them play. I know it's the Knicks. I know it's the preseason. You're going to roll your eyes. I love this team. It's hard not to with Hunter and Huerter and, like you said, Trae Young, John Collins. I even like some of the veterans that they have. I mean, they have guys like Alan Crabb and Evan Turner and Jabari Parker. And then, of course, the ageless Vince Carter. I think somehow – I don't think the East is that strong at the end. I think there's 6 – I think like the West, I think there's 6 teams that are going to make the playoffs, and then they're going to have a handful of mediocre teams competing for 7 and 8, the Heat being among those mediocre teams. And I'm just giving the nod to the Hawks over a team like the Heat and the Pistons.
I'll root for it because I think the Pistons roster, as interesting as it is, I think it's a little boring. I mean, Derrick Rose
really
is a good story. They just released Joe Johnson, which was interesting.
That was sad. I saw Joe.
Yeah, so it's just – I think it's just a boring roster, but But if Blake, if this is the only injury, and I know this is a big if, but if this is the only setback Blake Griffin has, I think this team is talented enough where they're making the playoffs. But I love the Hawks team. I think they're going to be so much fun to watch. I just think they're a year away still.
And that's why I made the swap, because I don't think this is going to be Blake Griffin's only injury, unfortunately. And I'm a huge fan of Blake Griffin. It keeps happening, and it keeps coming up with the injuries over the last couple of years. And he'll be out until November, and that's not that long. But who's to say this is the only injury? I think, and they need him. I mean, they're only a playoff team because of him. Like you said, it's a boring team. Andre Drummond might average 15 and 15, but he can't shoot. Reggie Jackson stinks. You don't know what you're going to get out of Derrick Rose. So I'm giving my nod to the Hawks. And the Pacers, I know you said you're not that high on them. I like what they did this offseason, even without Oladipo. They added Malcolm Brogdon. Jeremy Lamb can kind of hold down the fort for a little bit without Oladipo. I love the fact that they signed Domantas Sabonis to a big contract, because now they can just go out and play with him and Turner. I do think it's sort of an awkward fit, and maybe at some point they'll trade one of them, but they had to pay Sabonis at this point. And then the trade for TJ Warren was a really good trade. So I like what they did. I still think they can finish in the top four. We both have the Sixers at four. I don't know. I'm not – I said this in the summer. I don't love the Horford and Embiid fit. It's really awkward to me.
It's an awkward team. There was videos of Ben Simmons being able to shoot the ball. Cool. He's not going to hit 83s this year. He might hit 10. Horford can step out and spread the floor a little bit as a big, which is going to be nice for Embiid. But Embiid can't stay healthy either. I mean, Tobias Harris is now their main perimeter threat. Josh Rosen's a nice little slasher. Or Josh Richardson's a nice little slasher. But, like, I don't know. They lose Jimmy Butler. They lost J.J. Redick. There's some key pieces missing. I just don't – the team is intriguing. They're going to be fun to watch when they're all playing together. But I just don't think this team is going to make enough noise to be a real threat.
Yeah, my biggest thing, and this is where the Jimmy Butler thing is a factor. If they had kept Jimmy Butler at the max instead of Tobias Harris, then Philly might be a top two team in my eyes, because –
I agree with that.
Because I just think Jimmy Butler fits that team with what Embiid is capable of doing and what Simmons is capable of doing. Jimmy Butler can just go out there and score and just shoot from anywhere on the floor. Tobias Harris is a very good player. He's just a very different player. He's not like that alpha male. He's not – I mean, you're calling Jimmy Butler the third best player in the East. Tobias Harris is a long –
this year.
Right.
This year.
Right, which is fine, but Tobias Harris is a long ways away from being that third best player. So I love Al Horford. He's a great leader and a great veteran. He's not a great shooter. I don't know. I have so many question marks about this team. We both put them at four. I'm just very unsold on them. You have the Nets near the bottom. I have them at five. I don't think this team is going to be that much better than last year's team. Kyrie Irving will be an upgrade over D'Angelo Russell if he can stay healthy. They have Caris LeVert. They made a bunch of moves. I mean, this is basically a completely different team from last year. So I think 4 or 5 is kind of their ceiling. If they had Durant, they'd probably be number one, if not number two. Unfortunately, though, they don't. So it's hard to put them really any higher. And then, so you have the Raptors at 5. I have them at 6. This is a weird spot for the defending champions, but it's hard to kind of, and I'm watching them right now, it's hard to judge them, though, because they lost Kawhi and Danny Green.
Yeah, and they didn't really add anything either. Obviously, they get OG and Anunoby back. They didn't have him in the playoffs. Yeah. So this team is going to be good defensively. I don't know where the consistent scoring is going to be, because Kyle Lowry, I know we both have our feelings about him. That guy can go have amazing stretches and then become invisible for like a month at a time too. He's just such a weird, good player. This team is really going to go. If Siakam can take a step forward from last year, then this team is going to be a force because he was good last year. But that could have helped with Kawhi taking a lot of attention from him. Van Fleet gets put in the starting lineup. So when your sixth man gets put in the starting lineup, now your team instantly becomes less deep and less scoring. Serge Ibaka and Gasol is nice inside, but it's not like it's not been like, oh my god, I'm terrified of these guys. But it's good defensively. They're just they're an average team, and but an average team in this East this year is good enough for, you know, the five or the six seed.
No, absolutely, yeah, they're average. I mean, I like the mix of Lowry, Gasol, and Ibaka, and then you have Siakam, Van Vliet, and OG. It's a good mix of young and older players. I think they're still going to come out hungry and push. I just think the wave of momentum from last year's success will keep them in the playoff hunt. But, yeah, I mean, once they're in the playoffs, I don't really think they're going to be a real factor. And then I think that's it for the East. Is there anyone else? After you get to the teams, so, I mean, I have the Heat, you have the Hawks, you have the Pistons. I think those 10 teams are really it. Over the summer, you were high on the Bulls.
I still am. I like them. The Bulls are fun.
You just don't think they're top 18.
I don't think they're there yet. I like LaVine. I like Kobe White there. I like Otto Porter, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter. I don't think they have the bench to support them to get there. I just think it's still young. But they could surprise people. I mean, I'm not high on the Pistons by any means. I just think Blake Griffin is a better player than anyone that the Bulls have right now. So that's why I gave the nod there. But this Bulls team is young, and I think they're hungry. And they have a good, you know, six-man rotation, seven-man rotation. That's about it. Maybe they do win enough games to get in the playoffs. But I'm excited to watch them, just being someone that lives in Chicago. And then your Knicks, listen, they missed out on the superstar players, but I like the roster they put together. They're going to be at least entertaining and fun to root for, unlike past year's teams. Like, this is going to be a team that you can support because they're going to come in and play hard. And then the best thing is that these guys are good and play hard. They're going to reward the Knicks' future because these are guys who are going to be able to get dealt for first-round picks, which is exactly what the Knicks need going forward.
Yeah, look, they signed six good and Julius Randle, who averaged 20 and 10. They have professional basketball players on their team. I mean, the last couple of years, the Knicks have been running out guys like Luke Kornet, Emmanuel Mudiay, Ron Baker playing 25, 30 minutes a game. So I like the moves that they made in isolation. Obviously, you have to kind of asterisk and caveat everything that they struck out on free agents. I think they'll be good. I think they'll be competitive. Then the over-under is 27.5. So I have them going over. But going over, I mean, I think they're going to go 30-52. So 30-52 is still pretty bad. but they also won 17 games last year. So
nearly doubling their win total and having just a better product in the court that just makes the season so much more enjoyable. I know it's still a disappointment without, you know, changing the franchise around, but this is not the worst thing. They added guys, like you said, who know how to play basketball and play basketball well. And so it's just see. And it's like when you have RJ Barrett, I don't think Julius Randle is one of those guys I'm talking about that's going to get traded. I think Julius Randle is a nice little piece for I think it was a 2-year deal they signed him to. So why
a 3-year deal with 3-year deal?
Yeah, so he's around. But it's like guys like Marcus Morse. That is the guy who's going to be on a playoff team this year. So it's just hopefully you can get a first for him. But it's just it's great because you draft RJ Barrett, who I think is going to be a stud in this league, and he's not going to have to do like force it so much where like other like top picks in the league have come in with on bad rosters. He's got some players there to help him out. So I think RJ Barrett's going to have an easy transition to the NBA because he's got decent talent around him.
Yeah, it's fun young talent. I mean, this is what the Knicks have lacked for the last 10 years is they keep rolling out these overpriced veteran guys like Tim Hardaway and Courtney Lee, and now guys who might not be ready for the spotlight, but guys like RJ Barrett, Dennis Smith Jr., Frank Ntilikina, Mitch Robinson, Alonzo Chara, Kevin Knox. I mean, there's good young talent that has potential. So we'll see. They're going to stink. I'm not naive about it, but I think at 30-52, you're still better. One team I think that's really going to stink, I saw their starting lineup today. Have you seen the Wizards lineup?
It's so bad. I feel so bad for Bradley Beal.
So when I started this episode, I said you and I are two of the most knowledgeable and passionate fans in the world. I have never heard of Isaac Bonga. I have to be honest. Isaac Bonga is rated as a starter, and I thought I knew everybody in the NBA. I've never heard of Isaac Bonga before.
I think I've heard the name before, but it's nothing good about it. It's rough. I love my boy Thomas Bryant. He's looked, you know, like an actual real NBA player. I like Bradley Beal, but this team is bad. It's just it's a terrible franchise right now, and it's bad.
Well, without having ever seen Rui play a game, I think it's fair to say that Thomas Bryant is their second best player. All due respect to your boy from Indiana, if Thomas Bryant is your second best player, you're screwed.
Yep, and it just annoys me that the Lakers gave him away for free to this Wizards team.
Imagine. I mean, that's
– they could have really – Lakers could have used Thomas Bryant this year.
Lakers gave away Bryant. They gave away a Victor Zubac, who they could have used. I mean, they're just giving away players. So, all right. So to wrap this up, let's do MVP, Rookie of the Year, and then our conference finals and our champions. So, MVP. Giannis won it last year. Who you got this year?
We talked about it before. We think that the Warriors are going to make the playoffs. And to do so, Steph Curry is just going to have to put up silly numbers. Like all-time silly scoring numbers. And he's going to get assists. I think he's going to have just awesome numbers for a playoff team. So I got to go Steph Curry as MVP.
I actually agree. I know it's not fun when we agree, but I actually do agree because – like I said, he's going to pursue the scoring record. It's going to be an awesome battle because if the Lakers do finish one and LeBron does play all 82 games, he's absolutely going to be in the mix for MVP. Giannis is going to be back in the mix. I think Westbrook's presence in Houston may impact Harden a little bit, but
Anthony Davis is going to be in that running too with the Lakers with the one seed.
I mean, there's 10 to 12 guys that could realistically be considered an MVP candidate this year. But so we both go Steph. Rookie of the Year kind of sucks. I mean, Zion Williamson probably would have been the front runner, but he's out a couple months. Again, Joel Embiid did play 31 games and won the award, but I think there's enough other rookies that Zion probably isn't the front runner anymore.
Yeah, I think Ja Morant is not going to be the trending pick, and I actually emailed you that I was going to pick Ja Morant, but I'm going to go a little contrarian. I hyped them up earlier. I'm picking Tyler Hero.
I don't see it. Everybody, there's so many people that are high on Tyler Hero. He's a good player, but I don't know. People are so high on Tyler Hero. I might be very wrong on him, but I don't see it. I don't know. I'm going RJ Barrett. It's probably a biased pick, but I think RJ Barrett among all the rookies, I think he's in the best position to be a go-to scorer. He could average 18 points a game. He could get some rebounds and some assists. Knicks were experimenting with him at point guard a little bit. So if the offense really does run through his hands at some point and those assist numbers do go up, I also just think the fact that he's on the Knicks, the spotlight's going to be on him more. People are going to pay more attention to RJ Barrett than they are to Ja Morant. And like I said, I'm not that high in the Heat, so I don't know about Tyler Hero, but Tyler Hero is also going to be the second or third best player in the Heat, whereas RJ Barrett will likely be the best player on the Knicks. So I'm going with sort of a biased pick, but I'm going with RJ Barrett.
I like it.
So conference finals. Wow, let's go with the East first. Who do you have coming out of the East?
In the conference finals, I'm gonna have my top two seeds, Celtics and Bucks, juking it out. And I'm gonna take the Celtics there. I think the Bucks are they're not built for playoff success. You've got to be able to make threes. You got to be able to make free throws. They're not very good at either of those. And I just think I love this Kemba Walker mix. I really, really do. I think it's such a good team that's just deep and just built. And I know we didn't even talk about Carson Edwards. I think Carson Edwards might be a sneaky Rookie of the Year pick. I mean, the guy just put up nine threes and a quarter in an exhibition game just now. This team is really, really interesting. We have no idea what Romeo Langford's going to be, too, on that team. They're just deep with talent, and I like the Celtics coming out of the East.
Yeah, Carson Edwards, that might be the steal at the draft.
It really could be.
I have the same Eastern Conference Finals, but a different result. I have the Bucks going to the Finals. I think they'll be motivated by last year's loss in the Conference Finals. And also, at the end of the day, what I learned from the Eastern Conference Finals last year was the Bucks were the better team, the deeper team, and ultimately had more talent. But the Raptors had the best player on the court, and at the time, really, just the best player in the world. That's why my head kind of leans towards the Bucks, because even though I think the Celtics finished with the best record, and I love what they've done this offseason, I think the Bucks will have the best player on the floor at all times in Giannis, and I think he will be able to take over games. And I'm not sure that any of these guys, Hayward or Brown or Tatum, are going to be able to stop him in a best-of-seven series. So I'm going with the Bucks to make the NBA Finals from the East.
I do like that logic, because I think we talked about that a lot with the Raptors, where Kawhi was the best player on the court, and that was essentially the biggest difference, the guy who consistently made the plays over and over again. Obviously, I know that the supporting cast for the Raptors helped out a lot, but, I mean, time and time again, Kawhi just was there in the fourth quarter making clutch shots. And it could be the right, where Giannis is, where Tatum and Hayward are just not able to guard him. But I like the Celtics team. I really do. I think they're going to gel. And I don't know. I think they're coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I got burnt on this last year because I picked the Bucks to beat the Raptors for the reason that I thought the more talented, deeper team would win. I ignored the star power. So I'm going to flip it, and I could very easily get burnt. Again, I don't see anybody else really, truly capable of winning the East. I want to see the Sixers play for like a month. I want to see a sample size of the Sixers. I don't think the Pacers are that team. I think the Nets are a year away until they get Durant and the Raptors aren't going back. To me, these are the only two options in the East, the Bucks and the Celtics.
I pretty much agree with that. It's just the other teams just don't have enough top to bottom for them. I mean, the Sixers very well could be. They have good players. We just don't know how they're going to play together. So it'd be silly for us to say, hey, the Sixers are going to the finals or the Sixers are coming out. Like, it's just it's really, really hard just to pick someone else right now.
And in the West, I really, truly believe anybody could win it. I really, truly believe that the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Blazers, the Jazz, I mean, honestly, even the Spurs just because of Popovich and the Warriors just because Steph Curry could just literally light on fire, I think any of those teams are capable of making it to the West. But at the end of the day, as we're saying, I think talent wins out, and I think the two most talented teams, I think we both agree on this, the two most talented teams will be the teams that get to the conference finals, right?
It's the Western Conference playoffs are going to be a bloodbath. It's just going to be unbelievable fun in there. And you're right. I mean, it's just Steph Curry in a series. Like, what if he averages 50 points a game in the playoffs? Like, that could be an upset, like, over the Clippers or the Lakers if they're the 8th seed. Like, don't look past the Warriors as an 8 seed with Steph. Like, that's so scary. But again, yeah, I mean, this could be the homer pick in me too, but I think who wouldn't be rooting for Lakers Clippers to meet in the semifinals? Like, it's just, it would be so cool. It would be a battle of LA, something we've just never seen in sports. Like obviously, I guess the last time would be the Mets Yankees in the World Series. So we have seen it. That's it.
It's the last time I could think about it. I mean, yeah, I don't. Just the Giants have never played a real game. The Cubs and the White Sox have never played in the World Series.
It'd be such a unique situation. Yeah, we got the Yankees and Mets, and that was awesome. I mean, the New York for two New York teams to be in the World Series, very, very cool. If you do that with LA, with LeBron, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard in a conference finals. That's just something we'll never have seen before. It's just, that's going to be awesome. And we need that to happen. The NBA needs it to happen because we never got Kobe and LeBron in the finals. We never got that. So it's just, I feel like we're owed something right like this to happen.
So let's assume we get it, because we're both assuming we get it. Who's going to win?
I'm going Clippers. I'm going Clippers. I just think that defense is going to be so good. I mean, we didn't even talk about Montrezl Harrell. So, like, you have a guy who's, like, I almost want to call him, like, baby Anthony Davis. Kind of the same skill set. Obviously, Anthony Davis is much better. But, like, he's that same kind of player. So, he's perfect for the Clippers there. I mean, Patrick Beverley, I've raved about him. They got Lou Williams for awesome bench scoring. There's just Landry Shamet, a good shooter. They've got all the answers that the Lakers need. So, I mean, for Lakers to do it, I mean, you're asking, they need to have career years from, like, Danny Green's going to have to average, like, 15 points a game. Like, Kyle Kuzma's going to have to be that third scorer, 20 points a game in the playoff series. JaVale McGee's going to have to be a stud. Obviously, they lost, Boogie Cousins. No idea where Rondo fits in this. I'm not really sure. But it's just that they're going to need these guys that have career years for the Lakers to come out of the West.
Yeah, I think I like the Lakers to do really well in the regular season. I think, like you said before, the phrase that you're using, a regular season team, I think LeBron and AD are going to give everything they have to get this team the number one seed, to prove how good they are. At the end of the day, the Clippers are just a better team. They have the better bench with Lou Williams. I would argue that they have the better coach with Doc Rivers, who has a championship pedigree. And I would argue that Kawhi and Paul George as a duo are just better than LeBron and Anthony Davis. Maybe it's a recency bias thing because LeBron wasn't himself last year and Davis was hurt, and Davis has also been in New Orleans. But you have the guy that finished third in the MVP race in the regular season, teaming up with the guy who was the NBA Finals MVP and all-around best player on the planet for the last 3 months of the season. I'm going with the Clippers. I think that they will make their first ever NBA Finals, and I think they will win it. I think for the first time ever, the LA Clippers will be the NBA champions, and Kawhi Leonard will just continue to add to his historic resume. He'll win two straight NBA titles with two different teams, and he will be an NBA Finals MVP for the third time with three different teams. I don't believe anybody has ever done it three times. I think only LeBron, Kawhi, and I think Wilt Chamberlain have ever done it three times, period.
Yeah, it's got a hint of the Clippers. They've turned that franchise around, and so it's possible. So as a Knicks fan, you have to hope that that's possible for your franchise.
So Clippers, as much fun as the Clippers-Lakers would be in the Western Conference Finals, when you go back at the standings, so I have Clippers-Lakers 1-2. You actually have Clippers-Lakers 1-4. So it's still possible that it would happen. It's still awesome that it would happen. But Clippers and the Lakers in your scenario would actually be slated for round two. So if the Clippers beat the Lakers, they would potentially play the Rockets or the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals.
And I would have the Rockets going advancing there. But what's the, I mean, so you get the Clippers who get to play the Lakers in that duo, and then the reward is go play Harden Westbrook.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous. Either way, you're getting an amazing playoffs and an amazing finals and an amazing run. This whole thing is going to be an amazing run. It's really, truly an unpredictable season, and the Knicks might not suck, and there's about 12 different teams that could be legitimate finals contenders, which is really exciting. And there's like 10 different guys that could win the MVP.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year. It's already started tonight. We get Lakers Clippers up here in like an hour or so for tip. Like, it's just, it's basketball season. And then we even get college basketball in 2 weeks.
College basketball in 2 weeks. How great. And we'll keep following all of this. You can check in with us every week. We're going to start doing some shorter and more frequent podcasts. Obviously, this one ran a little bit long because we wanted to preview the whole NBA season. But moving forward, we'll do some shorter NBA recaps, some college basketball recaps, and continue to cover football as well. So thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed. And we'll revisit these predictions later in April, May, and June.
Thank you for listening.